previously on Table Side Mashed Potatoes. Scott said something, and then Peter jumped in, and then a bunch of drinks, and then now you're all cut up.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Tableside Mashed Potatoes. I'm one of the hosts, Derek Ovinga.
I'm one of the other hosts, Scott Irwin.
Peter Bishop.
He's also one of the other hosts. And today we're going to talk about inbound marketing. But first, I want to talk a bit about Scott Irwin.
What about?
So we're trying to convince Scott Irwin to join Instagram because we just started an Instagram account for our podcast called Tableside underscore the underscore podcast, because everything's got to be underscored.
Mm-hmm. Smash those likes.
Scott has some reasoning for not joining most social networks. Like, you've got Facebook and LinkedIn because you're
those are grandfathered in.
Yeah, they're grandfathered in.
Keyword is grandfather. Yeah.
But yeah, why aren't you on Instagram?
They're not. It's not. I don't have anything against Instagram per se, but I'm on my phone a lot. It hijacks my time and attention a lot. And I just think I don't need to add any more fuel to that fire. I don't think it adds a lot of value to my life day to day. If I want to go actually search something specifically on Instagram, I can do that. But I'm not in it for the likes. Don't care about the likes. Like,
don't you need the validation?
I don't care.
I feel like you can be an Instagram influencer.
I don't want to.
Could be. Just for not having an Instagram account, you're already an influencer.
I mean,
people be like, hey, can you not talk about me on your Instagram?
Or imagine being like a product design influencer. Like, a lot of people ask about my design systems that I like to work with, but
but I refuse to talk about them.
I feel like other people have got that covered.
I think you just kind of roll over on it, like stop feeling guilty about it, and then you can just like languish in the never ending feed that is Instagram.
Yeah,
and not feel bad. Like I think the problem lies in the guilt.
Well, Peter, what happens when you wake up at 3 a.m?
Oh, fuck, I should never have said that.
And you just happen to reach over and pick up your phone.
Well, it's weird. I just noticed I started doing that, and this. It's probably a symptom of having the phone by the bed. I shouldn't do that, but I use it for my alarm.
And then
because it's so available, then I'm like, oh, well, what's in the news? Because I look blurry in the middle of the night. And then I'm like, oh, well, you know, maybe I should just double check on Instagram. And then bam, down a wormhole.
You know what's really sad is I wake up late at night too, and I check my Instagram, and then I'll get like, Peter Bishop just liked your...
Oh, God.
So... like we're both awake together.
I do recognize that about myself that, you know, even though I'm not, I don't think I care about that stuff. If I put something out there and if I'm at all like either proud of it or maybe like, oh, I don't know if that tweet was, you know, appropriate or you know, too edgy or whatever. Not that I ever.
Oh, yeah. You're on Twitter, I guess, sometimes.
I'm on Twitter, but like I'm not ever on Twitter.
I see you liking things on, where have I seen it?
LinkedIn. Yeah. LinkedIn's a little bit different because it's more, it is that professional network, right? So if there is something that I'm like, oh, I read this article, I think it is legitimately interesting in, you know, the sphere of design and digital and whatever it is, I will share that. Or, you know, someone adds me as a friend on LinkedIn or whatever, and I'll go in and then I'll poke around. But for the most part, that's the one that I'm maybe on the most. I have Facebook just because.
Yeah, you got family in Thunder Bay. You want to stay connected.
Yeah.
I'm on LinkedIn a lot. And most, I like articles too, but mostly because I want people to see me liking articles that look intellectual.
That's part of it.
I'm like, I don't understand this at all. Like,
yes, share.
Hey, you outsmarted me, bud.
Share
interesting
that.
Points here. Repost.
Yeah. Look for the most famous people and then comment on their posts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, great article, Elon.
Hashtag insightful commentary.
See, you've got the hashtagging all down.
Like, yeah,
that's LinkedIn in a nutshell, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's all of them in a nutshell.
Right? Yeah,
like
yeah, I totally agree. I think half the time you're like, because I agonize over posts. That's why you look at my Instagram. There's not a lot because I'm always like, okay, how is this entertaining? Like, is this super entertaining and funny? And
no.
B, does this make me look super clever and witty? And I just overanalyze. And so they rarely come out. Mm-hmm. And even when they do, I go in a spiral looking at them over and over and just like agonizing over who's going to like it and all that. So I don't think I'm doing it right.
See, not me. I flood that shit.
Yeah, I see that.
I'll just put anything in there.
Well, and it's different for
you.
But
I get like a million likes because I don't know. Maybe I'm a likeable guy.
But it's different for you. Like your job really somewhat centers around that.
But I don't take my job home with me. I don't utilize, I don't know. Well, we're going to talk about it later, but I don't utilize inbound marketing for my own personal benefit. That's a
pretty good segue if we were going
to
segue right.
If we were ever to segue into something that people care about.
What do you mean in...
it's called marketing. Inbound marketing, Peter, and let me tell you all about it.
Yeah,
Derek, tell us about inbound marketing.
Yeah, so inbound marketing is a way of delivering content, educational content, and tailoring it to your potential, I guess, your prospect or your potential customer throughout the sales funnel.
Is it similar to content marketing? Because I always get those two confused.
Like content marketing is kind of it kind of lives within inbound marketing. So essentially, there's several channels that you can deliver inbound marketing with. Social posts, blogging is the biggest one. Podcasting, like us.
Yeah.
Videos.
Yeah.
Look at us. But yeah, I think content marketing is pretty much the fuel behind inbound marketing.
Is there anything that technically lives outside of content marketing that is under the umbrella of inbound marketing or no?
I'd say sales is a big one. Like essentially inbound is all about getting sales.
Right. Yeah.
But what you're doing instead of delivering, hey, here's the price points for my product or service, mm-hmm. or here's what service or product I can offer you. Instead, you're just trying to answer problems that they might have or deliver them answers to questions that they might have revolving around their problem.
I think that's a big difference because interruptive advertising is always, you're hoping for the sale right at the time, right? You're always looking for the sale. Mm-hmm. Or inbound marketing is kind of being that trusted advisor so that when you're ready to buy, they're going to turn to you.
It's playing the long game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Which is what true sales should be like.
Totally. The goal is that when somebody goes into, you know, their search engine, types in a problem that they might have, like, hey, we're planning this wedding and we want to have a honeymoon that's relaxing and won't take up a lot of work. So they might write relaxing honeymoon, 5-star resort, sunny, or something like that in the Mexico, in the search engine. And then it's inbound marketing's job to get you to write about something that will essentially get them an answer for what they're looking for. So a blog that says, I don't know, the 10 best 5-star resorts in Puerto Vallarta or something like that.
So when you're looking to write this content, if you're doing it on behalf of a client, you know what products or services they offer, what makes them unique in their particular niche or market. Do you do any research into either keywords or what users might be searching for or looking for so that you can actually tailor that content to something that maybe is not being addressed by any other competitors?
Yeah, totally. I think it's starting from identifying what the personas are. So it's finding,
sorry, what's a persona?
So a persona is identifying who your audience is. And, you know, you might interview people to figure out what these challenges are or what their goals are. And then narrowing them down to 3 to 4 audience personas or audience profiles. And that will kind of help you get a sense of, okay, this is the type of content I want to deliver to these people. And from there, you have to come up with keyword research as well. So, you know, what is your company about? And then what are the challenges or goals that your personas have? So you start doing keyword research on what they're searching. And I think from there, it goes into personalizing that content based on the inbound methodology. So the 3 stages of the funnel. So in the awareness stage, you're just trying to get their attention. So they might have a question about a problem that they have. They look it up on their search engine, and then you show up with answers to that question through blog content or a video or even a podcast. And then from there, you kind of nurture them between the few stages until you can actually turn them into a purchaser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that nurturing part is interesting, I think, because you're just kind of along for the ride. You're continually giving them content and they're looking for answers here and there, but you're not still pushing so much the sale. And what's nice is like once you've got their email address, you know, this is why it's so, you know, I'm so reluctant to give it out nowadays because, you know, like the second you give out an email address, you've got this connection with someone and they can continually contact you. And that's why email marketing is so effective. You know, when you look at a site, it's usually a one-off. You visit the site and you do some stuff and then you leave. But if you leave an email address behind you, now you've created this window between you and that brand that can exist for as long as you continually accept those emails. That's why email marketing is so effective because it lives well beyond that first touch experience with the website and allows you to continue this relationship. And, you know, you can fuck it up for sure.
Yeah.
But if you do it right, you kind of nurture this relationship and, you know, albeit digital, but that's part of that simulation of a sales experience, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. You're gaining trust. You're giving them valuable advice, hopefully, and things that are timely and personal content in the hopes that when you finally want to purchase something on your own terms, in your own time, and then you're going to turn to this person who's always been around and given you good stuff.
Right? Yeah, yeah. It's top of mind for sure, yeah.
How often do you guys leave your email address if you visit a website?
Okay, I'll tell you a story about me. So KFC is a big one for me.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, oh, and I never have KFC, but one time I was super hungover, to be honest. And
shocking.
Yeah, I know. It was, yeah.
Was it after was a Saturday. Podcast?
No, yeah. It was a Saturday, and there's a lot of sporting events on, and what I like to do if I'm hungover and there's sports on is I just want to order something really crappy to eat. And for some reason I wanted KFC, and I only live two blocks away from a KFC, but I wanted to get it delivered because apparently that's a thing that they do now.
Yeah.
And I signed up to have delivery of KFC, and then I kept my email address in there, and it's been 2 years. I haven't had KFC since, and I'm actually reluctant to unsubscribe.
Why?
Just in case there's another situation where I'm so hungover, there's a sporting event, and they've got like an amazing deal on or something that I can't say no to.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
My inbox is so clogged. Every morning I wake up to 50 plus emails.
Do you
find easy.
Do you think it's gone up in the last few weeks?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the last few weeks.
Oh, mine. Maybe. 100%. And there's like super aggressive ones too, where it's like, hey, this is the third time I'm trying to get a hold of you. Is everything okay? But it's like this is like beyond.
Is this KFC sending this to you?
It's like simulating a close friend. Where I'm like actually second guessing myself, which I'm sure is the point.
No, I find that really deceptive.
Oh, sorry. I should have let you know that I've actually had some personal issues. Like, why would you respond to these things?
I think like these things are kind of the complete opposite. Like KFC just providing me with, hey, here's a Super Bowl deal.
Yeah.
And
but it's trying
people
to
asking the, you why you're not.
It's trying to cut through the clutter, right?
Totally.
So they're doing anything they can to. And it sounds like I'm bashing on emails, but emails are like highly effective, right? Like for however many you unsubscribe for or think are bullshit, there's a lot that get in. So if you want to see like good ones, like you only have to look at Sephora or some of these big brands, and they do it really well. They'll even increase frequency. Like Gap, I think, sends over 40 emails in a month. When you look at Gap, that's obviously is more than one a day. They're not alone. There's lots and lots of brands sending way higher frequency of emails. And you'd think that would be a deterrent and that people would unsubscribe. But their kind of thinking is that people are going to unsubscribe anyways. If you don't like the brand, you're going to unsubscribe. It's not the end of the world. And if you unsubscribe, you're done. But the people who are hanging on obviously want information, and if you're giving that on a higher frequency, then you're actually possibly going to increase sales, and they are. So
and I think you're actually talking about the last stage of the inbound methodology too, and that's the delight stage. So they're already customers, not offering you education because you've already been educated. You've had this problem. Well, hey, come back for more if you need it. It's almost like a drug dealer.
Once you're on the chain on some of these, it's like you can't get off, right?
Yeah.
But you're right. It's kind of the dark side of that whole thing. The ones that are super annoying. The ones that I think you actually enjoy and actually like are doing it well, right? Which is good inbound, really, at the end of the day. And a lot of it is even getting that email. It is like, what are you giving in order to get? And I think that's what everyone misses. It's like, how do you get that email in the first place?
Yeah.
And what are you going to give to me in order to give away my email? And perhaps we're getting a bit too frivolous with how we give it away. because I do. I'll give it away for pretty much anything.
It does seem a little bit different than what you were just talking about, right? Like and it's that passive versus active mindset. The active mindset is I have a problem. I'm going to Google it. I'm going to get some form of answer in a content piece like a blog or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's going to help build brand affinity with this particular company.
Yeah.
That to me is totally different than just being absolutely spammed by email that I'm just not even reading. I'm just deleting. I can't read it. I'd spend the first 2 hours of my morning reading all 50 plus emails. So like, it seems like it's like this, marketing arms race. It just keeps escalating where it's like, once you get something that works, well, then everybody starts doing it and then they start doing it too much and then it's all noise. And it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. I find that the ones, though, that are spamming a lot, like the, hey, where have you been for the last 3 months, are aggressively selling. Like, they're not, it's not like, here's a bunch of content. It's like, no, here's this, like, keychain pocket knife thing that you've, like, shown interest in. We're going to hit you over and over and over with discounts and sales. And to me, that's not the spirit of inbound. It shouldn't be. It should be more about, hey, we know you're into adventure, like camping or something like that. Here's some tips and tricks about camping and stuff. Like, it should be a lot softer than that, but I find that a lot of them jump the gun. So going back to your process, Derek, I feel like there's this nurturing kind of process that should happen where you're building trust, but a lot of people are trying to jump to that finish line right off the bat, which is like turns your stomach
totally
for the most part.
Yeah. Like it's really funny because I was in this sales course that I dropped out of recently. And the reason for this is because, you mentioned Slacker because on Slack, I got into an argument with the, one of the teacher advisors from the course who actually talked about, a little sales trick that he pulled one time. And what he did was before a sales meeting, he went to the back of his trunk. And he put a bunch of bacon in his hand because he knew that the office had like a dog. So when he got up there, went up the elevator, the dog went straight to him. He started petting him. The dog started to smell the bacon grease or whatever the hell it was on his hands. And then right away, the client or the customer was like, oh, hey, my dog really loves you. And then his like logic towards that is like, yes, now I've built that trust. But I'm just like, you put bacon grease on your hands, like, this is a trick. This isn't trust. This is you literally tricked her into thinking that you are a very nice person when really you're just there to do one
that
thing.
Dog doesn't actually like you.
You're just there to do one thing, and that's to make a sale. And sometimes I think about that as like a, well, you know, back to that disruptor marketing thing where it's just, hey, here's the price and it's on for this long. Get there quick. Mm-hmm. Where inbound marketing is literally, it's almost like we're waiting for you to come with what you need.
Yeah.
And then you're advising them on what the next steps might be until they're ready to make a purchase.
I really like Blair Ann's sort of view on like sales, right? Whereas like a salesperson's job should never be to talk somebody into anything. It should be, they should be there to help facilitate a choice that, you know, is not going to be, you know, antithetical to the customer's best interests. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you have that mindset, then it like all this stuff just starts to make sense.
Yeah.
A thing you and I were talking about the other day that, I think always just helps clarify this a little bit is that there are things that are like adjacent to your core product or service that you could be talking about that are going to generate interest for that.
Totally.
So you don't need to be doing, you know, heavy handed, you know, content about the exact thing that you're offering or selling, but things that are like related to that, like they might not be Googling, you know, what you sell, your product or your service, but they may be Googling something that's a little bit more high level that is just, it's in a bigger tent and you can write about this stuff and then that's just going to widen the top of the funnel.
Totally. An example of that is going back to the honeymooners, let's say. An example of that is, let's say, one of your audience personas says that they love traveling, but they're active adventurers or something like that. So maybe you want to start talking about, hey, the best places to snorkel or scuba dive, because that's something that your audience might be looking for. And then those are the audience members that you want to start pulling in and nurturing until they're ready to go to Costa Rica or whatever to go scuba diving.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Sorry.
Are we keeping you, Peter?
The phone. No. Yeah.
Are brother. You on Instagram? That's why I'm not on it.
Sorry, Peter was just on Instagram. Yeah, we both looked over at you and you're just on your phone.
Like, OMG.
No phones during the podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Seriously, like the attention span of a gnat. That's what I have.
Yeah, anyways, like the end goal to inbound marketing really is just to create engaging content, helping somebody get to somewhere. And maybe the very end goal is to get them to buy with you.
Yeah. Right. It's more natural sales process, mm-hmm. right? Because I think that just asking people to buy now, which yeah. is tends to be where advertising goes is wrong, right? We don't function like that. And we're going to need more convincing now to buy with brands and to trust brands. And we're funny creatures. We don't always buy the second we see an ad. We have lots of things to think about and do, and you don't know where you're going to be. You could be on your phone and sitting on top of a gondola and looking at an ad. You have no idea how that we're all human. We have a million nuances. So we're here when you need us. And in the meantime, here's a bunch of content. Like here, we're helping you along the way so that we are your trusted advisor. And when you're ready, you know who to talk to mm-hmm. versus the guy that's screaming in your ear the entire time. Yeah. I think that's the nature of it.
Yeah. They're the ones wrapping bacon on their hands or spreading bacon all over their hands and saying, hey, you might not have been looking for this, but we've got a sale on this. And that sale just happens to be way out of your price range because they didn't do enough research to find out what exactly you're looking for and in what price range you're looking for.
Here's my question. It's like, if you wrap bacon all over your hands and then you went and stroked the dog or whatever, at some point you would have had to shake the hands of the person you're going to talk to. So what was that? Like,
what was their plan there?
I have no idea. I don't know what their plan was there, but
feel short-sighted.
Yeah. I'm banned from that Slack channel now because I argued with them in front of all his 16. Yeah.
What? 1600 peers.
Wow.
Yeah. God. Good job.
Let's say you're like, okay, I'm in. I want to do inbound marketing.
Are you because you know I'm part of like the HubSpot cult, are you going to try to make me talk about HubSpot?
Tickets to that next year?
not like, let's say broad terms. Like, so I want to do this. How do I get started? Let's say I'm brand new.
You know, there's got to be some sort of, like you can do it all manually with spreadsheets and whatnot, but I think there needs to be some sort of tool that you need. One, to collect contacts and figure out where they are within the sales funnel. So you need some sort of CRM of some sort. And then
what's a CRM?
CRM is kind of like a database for, leads, I guess.
This is good leads. Foreshadowing because I'm going to talk about this next podcast. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Stay tuned. CRM coming your way.
So CRM is a bit of a database where you collect leads, but also somewhere where you store current contacts. So people who might already be customers. And then there's other software that you might want to use for, let's say, automation. So email marketing is such a big component of inbound marketing. So once you've got all these contacts within your database, then you want to include them in an email marketing strategy or whatever. So a specific audience that you've identified in a specific part of the sales funnel gets tailored emails to them with content that they're looking for. And there's a few tools that can do that. I'm a HubSpot fanboy. But there's things like MailChimp can do some of it now. But we'll talk about that in the next podcast, apparently. Right, Peter?
That's right, Derek.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And tune in to the next episode where we're going to talk about...
Software, marketing software. How it affects you.
I tried to point to you like it was going to be like a smooth transition. And then you said, marketing software. I'm like,
oh God, you're looking at me. Oh, yeah. What am I going to say? Yeah. Marketing software, how it affects you, how it affects me.
What about me?
Yeah. How it affects Scott.
Okay.
It doesn't
affect for the most part. No. Anyways, #GetScott on Instagram.
Oh yeah. Right.
Have a great night.
Bye. You've been